So, again, it's a great pleasure to have you with us this evening. And for those of you who were not on the call a few minutes ago, I just want to say that we have many far-flung members of this teleconference. There's someone here from Bangkok. There are people from Latin America, from Canada, from Europe, from Denmark and Germany. And I'm at this very moment in Boulder, Colorado, where I've just been making a recording of the meditations for my new book, which is called Awakening Shakti, the Transformative Power of the Yoga Goddesses. So I'm very in the space of the Divine Feminine, and I'm actually thinking that we'll do a little meditation with the Divine Feminine tonight, even though that wasn't planned. And I'm just very, very delighted to be with you all. What we're doing here is making ourselves available to a subtle transformative process, the process that arises inside us when we commit ourselves to a loving relationship with meditation. And I know that many of you, because there are many of you here on the call or downloading the class on MP3, listening to it tomorrow, that many of you have a loving relationship with meditation, and that many of you also have been part of this teleconference sangam, the what we call the higher we space, the space of our collective intention for coming more deeply to know the self, for recognizing the subtle energy that connects us all. And it's my intention, and I know the intention of many of you, that this class, this vortex, this shared meditation experience actually be the occasion for us to come into an even deeper experience of our meditation. I also know that some of you are fairly new to the meditation process, and for you, I offer a special welcome. This class is geared for both beginning and intermediate meditators. So we'll be doing some pretty subtle practices, but always with an option for someone who's not quite so familiar with the meditation process to find your place where you can feel firm and seated. So our intention in these 3 weeks is literally to meditate for the love of it, for the sake of deep enjoyment. Now, we may have other motives for meditating, and there are many, many really good reasons for meditation. Everything from stress reduction to clearing the mind to every single possible form of enlightenment. And these are all great motives. But what I'm asking you to do during this time we have together is to put all your good reasons for meditating aside and actually engage your meditation time as a way of exploring yourself, as a way of being with yourself, as a way of coming more into relationship to your inner world and to the different layers of your sacred self. You know, the sacred self is always present, underlying even the most gnarly conditions of mind. And so when that sacred self is there, is present with us, there's really never a moment when we're not able to find it and to take refuge in it. And for me, one of the really great gifts of meditation over the years has been the opportunity to dive again and again and again into my connection with the interior sacredness. So that as the years have gone by, it's become really the underlying presence in my mind and always there as a channel that can be dialed into, so to speak, even in times when life feels very, very fraught and very stretched. So one of the reasons, in fact, why it's such a beautiful thing to enjoy your meditation, to meditate for the sake of enjoyment, is that the more we enjoy meditation, the more likely we are to do it. And the more we do it, the more likely we are to actually be able to reap the many, many side benefits of a meditation practice. So let's do a little housekeeping here. I'll be offering several different approaches to meditation during all these sessions, and also a lot of core principles and tips for practice that I've found very helpful. We'll be meditating together during these weeks, and you'll also be asked to practice every day. There are, as many of you know who've taken these teleclasses, there are several ways to do these classes. Sometimes when you're very busy, I'm speaking now to those of you who are tuning in via the MP3. Sometimes when you're very busy, you save the class for the weekend and you listen to it on the weekend, which is one of the reasons why we make it downloadable. Some of you come live, and some of you like to hear the class over and over and over again, because every time we hear it, whether we're here live together with each other or listening to it in our own space, the vortex of meditation, the transmission that takes place during these teleconferences, is available and will help to power your meditation and help you go deeper. The core of what goes on in these practice sessions is a series of meditation transmissions. I like to think of them as downloads from the invisible world, where sages, guides, meditation masters gather, and when they're invoked through a gathering like this one, they offer us their energy and their presence and their help. These transmissions will come through the instructions that I give you, through our invocations, through the practice itself, and also through the strange magic of the subtle we space, the vortex of community that's forming here and that will deepen over the next weeks. And again, those of you who've been part of this community over time know very well how this works. I was recently in a dialogue with a couple of other teachers on the subject of the higher we space. And one of the things that we agreed was on a definition of what a higher we is. You know, the we space is one of the names that some of us give to the meditation sangham, the experience that we have when a few of us come together with a higher purpose. And one of the gifts of this higher we is the fact that it can actually give us access to wisdom and to spiritual experience that may be greater than any one of us could tap into on our own. And one of the things that we agreed on in our conversation is that the real hallmark of the higher we is that everybody present be really there for the sake of, let's call it an enlightened state, an evolving state, an experience of higher consciousness, an experience of depth. And the more we concentrate, the more we really let ourselves be together in that space, the more powerful the transmission is that comes through the we, through the sangham. And as I say, the mysterious thing about this community presence, this communal presence, is that it's there whether you're on the calls live or whether you're listening weeks later on the download. And it will continue to be present whenever you listen. We'll also be able to engage each other in active dialogue on the calls, and the dialogue will be available on the listserv, where you can ask questions, share experience and insight, communicate with each other and with me. And I also want to say that I will answer questions through the listserv. You might also find that others in the group have insight to offer. And if during this time there's a question that you want to keep private, you can send it to me privately at Sally, my email address, sally@sallykempton.com. And as part of this process, I want to ask you to make a commitment to daily practice. You'll receive some general guidelines about setting yourself up in meditation, but these guidelines are not rules. I want to say that again. They're not rules. They're literally suggestions. But the one, let's say, let's call it a rule, or let's say that it's one of the ways in which you can most deeply get the most out of this call. And that is to make a commitment to it. There's a very famous statement by the polar explorer G.H. Murray, who I believe lived in the late 19th century. And he writes in his journal of his polar expedition about how as soon as he made the commitment for the journey, all sorts of things began coming to help him. He said, "The moment you make a definite decision, providence moves too." So that's one of the best things you can do for yourself in this process, is commit yourself to practice. You can practice in the morning when you wake up, or you can practice in the evening before you go to bed or after work. You might even find that it's most convenient for you to practice at noontime. You can practice in your meditation room or on a cushion next to your bed, or you can meditate sitting up in bed or even in your parked car. You can meditate under a tree. You can meditate on your living room couch. So you can really meditate anywhere that you can be quiet and undisturbed. And I'm going to ask you to meditate for at least 20 minutes every day and to give yourself a little time around that so that you can spend a couple of minutes journaling when you come out of meditation. The time commitment is the container that lets the practice ripen. And the 3 weeks we have together is actually the time it takes to set a new habit. And I know that this time of year is very busy for some of you. So taking this time may mean getting up earlier or going to bed a few minutes later. And I think you'll find that it's worth it. I also know that circumstances may come up that seem to make the commitment difficult to keep. So what I want to ask you, nonetheless, is to make it and to keep it. Because one of the things that I've discovered about meditation and that I know many of you have discovered about meditation is that if you decide to do it, and do it even if it's hard to get to it, that the meditation deities are very happy and they begin to reward you. They really do. They begin to reward you by opening you. And here's a call I offer you. So even though I'm asking you to make a commitment, and to some of us making a commitment feels kind of heavy, I want to ask you not to let it be heavy. I want to ask you to hold it as a pleasure, as a joy, really as a privilege. You know, in the Buddhist tradition, they say that this lifetime, they call this lifetime a lifetime in which you can receive teachings and practice. They call it a precious human birth. Not every human birth is precious. Some human births are just downright difficult. But a birth in which we get to practice meditation is a precious birth. So when we make a commitment with the recognition of how precious this time is and with the realization that we've chosen this for the sake of joy, for the sake of deeper happiness, there's a sweetness in keeping it. And we align with that force in the universe, which brings things to fruition. So let's start by making an intention. By forming an intention. And in the future, you'll want to create your own intention in your own words. But for now, I want to offer an intention for all of us. So you can close your eyes and with the breath, allow yourself to come into a somewhat more upright posture. I'll be giving you more specific meditation instructions in a few moments. But for now, just let the breath settle your body. Let the inhalation take you into a sort of deeper relationship between your buttocks and the chair. Let the exhalation draw your body up through the torso, up through the crown. And here's an intention. our intention, our commitment during this time we have together is to enter into the field of our own sacred self with relaxation, joy, and fullness of heart. And in this way, we'll allow the inner world to open its doors to us. And so it is. Intention, along with several other attitudes that we'll be talking about later, is one of our key practices for invoking the inner energy that makes meditation subtle, loving, and deep. In the yoga tradition, we call this energy Shakti. Shakti, which we usually define as the dynamic power, the cosmic power, the creative power in the universe. Shakti is the force that enlivens our meditation, and it's also the field within which meditation takes place. And in the meditations that I've been recording in the last couple of days, one of the ways that we become present to Shakti is with the awareness that it's a divine feminine presence, a feminine energy. And another way that Shakti is described in some traditions is as presence. Because one of the ways we tune into our own inner Shakti is by tuning into the feeling of aliveness that exists in and around us. That aliveness can be sensed as an invisible field inside and outside, a felt sense. Hard to describe, so presence is a good word for it. It's invisible and it's very subtle. So if we're connected to a yoga tradition, we call it Shakti, which carries the sense of its throbbing, pulsing, dynamic quality. But we can also call it by names like being, awareness, names that point to the fact that this enlivening meditation energy is our life force, is our deep intelligence. And one of the secrets of feeling that our meditation is landing, one of the ways that we become truly present with our meditation, is to feel into this presence, this Shakti, this aliveness. One of the ways we do this is through invocation. Another way we do it is by literally summoning, invoking, asking that presence to be with us. So we'll start now with a chant that many of you are familiar with, a chant that invokes the power within the universe under the name of Shiva. Shiva as the underlying divine intelligence of all that is. This chant, which is on the chanting sheets that you received, this chant invokes divine presence as the inner guru, the inner teacher, the guide who, known or unknown, has been leading you through all the experiences that have brought you to this moment of self-discovery. And it points that this inner guide is within you as beingness or aliveness, as intelligence or consciousness, and as natural joy, Sat Chit Ananda. So we'll chant with the beautiful voice of Krishna Das, and you can listen or chant along. And after we've chanted, we'll begin to offer the meditation practice, asking that it be of benefit to all beings.
Om
We ask that through the power of our practice, all beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. We ask that all beings be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. We ask that all beings know the sacred joy that lies beyond suffering. We ask that all beings be free of hatred, grasping and dullness. We ask that all beings experience the equality of everything that lives. With your awareness of the breath, notice your posture. If you're sitting on a chair, your feet should be flat on the floor, and your back should be supported so that the back can be upright. And for those of you who are sitting on the floor, your hips should be 2 to 3 inches higher than your knees for maximum support. And hopefully you have something under your ankles so they're not challenged by the hard floor. And finding yourself in a posture in which you can be comfortable, in which you can feel supported, in which your spine can be upright and yet not rigid. Inhale and have the sensation that your buttocks are getting heavy, sinking into the floor, pulled by gravity towards the earth. And exhaling, let the body lift up from that base, up through the torso, up through the crown. Inhaling, the base of your posture sinks. Exhaling, the torso lifts up through the crown. Not with your muscles, but through the power of the breath. Inhaling, the chest opens. Exhaling, your shoulder blades release down your back. Inhaling, the head finds its proper alignment, the chin just slightly tucked, the curve in the neck maintained. And with the breath, be present to this felt sense of your body, in this place, in this time, in this moment. And we'll begin by settling ourselves into the open experience of this moment. And we begin by simply listening to all the sounds that are around us, the sound of my voice, the sounds that you're aware of in the environment or even in your own body. Allowing yourself to be aware of all these sounds with the recognition that all of these sounds are aspects of the life energy, the Shakti, that's manifesting in one form as the vibration of ambient sounds, of spoken sounds, of wind, of electrical hums. You're just open to sound. You're aware also of the sensation of your body against your seat, of the air against your skin, of the way the clothes touch your body, the sensation of one eyelid resting against the other, of the tongue resting on the floor of the mouth. You're aware of the flow of your breath, and even as you listen to sound, even as you sense sensation, you're present with the flow of the breath. You feel the breath as it flows into the nostrils, flows down the throat and into this chest area, and you feel it slightly warmed by your body flowing out from the chest, through the throat, out the nostrils. And as you allow yourself to tune into the flow of the breath, sensing the breath as it flows into the nostrils, as it flows down the throat, widen your awareness so that you actually feel that you're sitting inside an ocean of energy. The air and the space around you are filled with particles of tender, benign energy, gathered particles of Shakti, the pulsing, dynamic, alive presence that is our life force, that is the power in our meditation. Let yourself breathe in this subtle, benign energy all around you. And see if you can feel that presence. See if you can feel the presence of the life force energy as a benign, feminine presence. It's subtle, it's filled with pulsing energy, and see if you can open yourself to be aware of that energetic feminine presence as tenderness. As a visionary awareness that is utterly and intimately there with you, that sees your beauty, that sees your fears and your doubts, your longing, your goodness, the hidden things. She sees it all. She holds it all. And she's filled with loving intention towards you. Simply know that this feminine presence, this Shakti, this force of love and awakening, this tender, benign energy, is there. And ask her for help. Ask her to help you meditate. You don't even have to. Know who you're speaking to. You just ask internally, please give me the grace to meditate with love. And as the breath flows in and out, as you sense the breath flowing both through your nostrils and through your throat and into your heart, allow yourself to feel that you're breathing in particles of this very subtle, tender shakti, this energy of love and light. And as you breathe it in and let it flow out, have the sense that this presence, this energy, is actually light energy. And it may have a color in your awareness. It may be blue or white or gold or rose. As the breath is flowing in and flowing out, just know that you're breathing in the graceful energy of what is, in fact, the Shakti, the divine feminine presence, whose intention is for you to know yourself, to love yourself, to meditate. Your awareness is on the breath. You can, if you like, uncoil your posture, and if you like, you can open your eyes, but it's fine to keep your eyes closed. Sometimes it happens in these classes that you go into a state at the beginning of the class and you never quite come out of it. And if that happens to you, just remember to listen to the class later. And know that we're going to have some other sessions and periods of practice that will deepen this experience. So perhaps in this moment, in those moments of meditation, some of you had a sense of how the energy that opens for us through the breath in meditation is actually a lover and a friend. And I'd like to ask you, even if you've meditated for years, and certainly if you've not meditated very much, to approach this time as though it were a completely new moment, as though every entrance into meditation is a new moment. The great Zen master, Shunryu Suzuki, who introduced so many in my generation to the practice of meditation, used to say, in the mind of an expert, there are few choices, but in the mind of a beginner, there are many. So in the mind of a beginner, when we have a beginner's mind, everything is filled with possibility. And this is really the most important part of the practice of falling in love with meditation. Just as it's so important to maintain love for the people in our lives, to feel as though every moment is a new moment, to approach each other and to approach ourselves as if for the first time. So as we engage our practice as beginners, we're meditating with a sense of experimentation, of playfulness, and especially as a relationship. So we're going to practice meditation as a relationship with our inner body, a relationship with the Shakti, the divine feminine presence that's always available, even if we just for one moment turn our attention to the breath and let ourselves be aware of the vibrant aliveness that's flowing in with the breath. So meditation, above all, is a relationship with our inner self, with the field of our own body and mind. And those of you who explored the self, who've explored the body, who've explored the energy of your mind, know that, in fact, there is infinite variety and infinite possibility inside your own body and mind. You know, we mostly think of relationship as something we do with another person, a friend or a partner or a lover, and therefore we may think I have a lot of relationships or I don't have many relationships, and sometimes my relationships are good and sometimes not so good. And maybe I'm good at relationships, or, you know, maybe I sort of feel a little bit lacking in relationships. But we don't always tend to consider the fact that we always have a relationship with ourselves, and that our relationship with ourselves literally changes moment to moment. And in fact, we have a number of relationships with ourselves because we're multi-layered beings. There are many, many facets to us. We have all kinds of moods and really feelings and thoughts about our own mind, about the different states that arise in us. You know, we feel one way about ourselves when we feel smart. We feel another way about ourselves when we feel dull. A lot of us have a tendency to have, you know, really rather punishing inner dialogues with ourselves. And we feel that, you know, there are some things about us that we're proud of, that we enjoy, and there are aspects of ourselves that are relatively difficult to manage. But one of the things that I began to discover as I explored my meditation, I realized that my relationship with myself mirrors and creates the relationships with other people in my life, in my life. You know, and that it's always true that the way we're relating to ourselves is going to affect our relationships with everybody else. But most important, we have a relationship to our sacred self, to the field of awareness and love that holds and contains the experiences that go through our mind, our body, our emotions. And as we become more and more present to the sacred self, to our own pure awareness, we realize that we can always turn to the sacred self for insight, for peace, for sweetness. And as we have a continuing relationship with our sacred self, what we could call our essence, we also find that this essential awareness in us can lead us deeper and deeper and connect us to that same awareness in others. So what we do in meditation is open up the space of essence, and we let that essence hold space for all those parts of ourselves. The gnarly parts, the beautiful parts, the sad parts, the childlike parts. We open it up space for all these aspects of ourselves to be seen and held by the presence, the essential presence, the awareness love, the Shakti. So think of your meditation as your way of being present with your own Shakti, with your own essential self. How this happens is going to be unique to you. And I would say more, that it's going to happen not just while you're sitting for meditation, but many, many times during the day. You know, so many of us think of meditation as the thing we do when we sit down. But in fact, the meditation journey is also affected and empowered by the way we hold ourselves in relationship to the self all through the day. And because we're always different, and because our day is always different, our meditation is never one size fits all. It's never the same. It's always different. And so one of the ways that we enter into meditation is to feel that we're actually entering into a dialogue with the self. And I'm going to ask you, it's going to be one of the homework assignments, I'm going to ask you to actually spend a few moments this week really asking yourself, what is my relationship to myself? And what is my relationship to my meditation practice? I think you'll find that answering those questions or even contemplating those questions is going to make a big difference, not just in your meditation, but in the way you walk around. And I'm also going to ask you to do some what I call walking around practices. Now, I'm not suggesting that you enter into meditation and talk to yourself, but it's more that I'd like you to feel that coming into alignment with yourself in meditation is a little bit like coming into alignment with a friend or with your lover or with your child. And you know how it is with someone else. Sometimes you're just right in the same wavelength. You fall right into alignment. But there are other times when you actually are a little bit out of sync. You're in one mood, they're in another. And when you understand the dynamics of relationship and you're committed to a relationship, then you feel the frustration of being out of alignment. And you also get to know how to come back into alignment. So part of what we do when we meditate is we bring our various selves, we bring our mind and body into alignment with our deeper self. And we do this by feeling our way into the body. We do it through invocation, as we have already. We do it through intention and all the other practices that actually engage meditation as a relationship. So we'll begin our, or continue our process of feeling our way into the inner body. And when I say feeling our way, I'm just trying to find words to describe a process that is really hard to describe in words because it has more to do with kinesthetics, with sensation. And in our meditation today and this week, we'll be practicing with an internal body sensing, an internal body awareness. And we'll also be practicing with a mantra, which for this week is the great English mantra, I am, that will serve us as a mental focus. You know, one of the proofs that they've been finding in brain research is that when you want your mind to get quiet, one way to do it is to think of two or three things at once. In other words, if you're concentrating on two or three things, your breath, your inner body, a mantra, those are three things, then the mind, the thinking part of the mind, will begin to get quiet. So this type of concentrative meditation is, it's one of the ways to allow the mind to settle, to focus. And this meditation asks us to bring our attention inward in a concentrative way. And it also asks us to come into a more intimate relationship with our own energy body, that subtle part of us that's related to the physical body, that's inside the physical body, but that's subtler, far less dense, and actually has the capacity to open up to a much more inward and expansive state than we're used to in the waking state. So actually, by tuning into the inner body, we access the fluid part of ourselves, the expansive part of ourselves. We invite the deeper layers of the self to come into the foreground instead of remaining in the background. And I'm going to give you the first tip here before we go into meditation. So if you've fallen asleep or if you're just in that meditative trance state, just wake up for a moment and hear this. The key to integrating your practice is to welcome whatever comes forward, to receive whatever arises with an attitude of welcoming. So I'm going to say it again. This is really the one of the subtle intentions of our practice for this week. We make up our minds to receive whatever comes forward in meditation, whatever it is, with an attitude of welcoming. You know, one of the ways we fall in love with your meditation is by welcoming what arises. Even when feeling or sensation is unfamiliar, when it's beautiful and exciting and you want to go, oh, that's so cool, I want to grab that, or when it feels a little bit alarming or frustrating, even irritating or sad, you welcome that. So whatever it is, whether it's beautiful and interesting or a little bit alarming, or whether it's an itch, or whether your body moves, or whether a whole surge of thoughts come up, just welcome it. Whatever the content, whatever the sensations that arises, hold it with an attitude of welcome. So, to create a loving holding space for meditation means to welcome. And you can do it quite literally. You can think to yourself, I welcome this feeling. But as you get used to meditating with this welcoming attitude, you'll find that the sense of welcome just happens. It just happens. My guru used to say when he began a talk, he would say, I welcome you all with great respect and love, because within each of you, God is fully alive. You know, this is really the attitude that we hold in our meditation. So if you need to stretch for a second, or if you have a cough, if you want to cough or you want to yawn, please take a moment to do that. Maybe you'd like to just breathe in and sigh out. Just sigh out and release everything you just heard. Now begin to settle yourself into the meditative posture that we brought forth earlier in the class. Using your breath is really the great energy, the great vehicle of the meditative shakti. It's a vehicle through which we bring not just prana and aliveness, but blessing into our body. So let the breath help you align your body in the posture. The inhalation bringing your attention to the place where your buttocks meet the seat. So inhaling, you feel your buttocks against the seat, and you let the sitting bones, the thighs, the buttocks get heavy, 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 and then you exhale, feeling that the inner body gently, gently, gently lifts upward right through the center of the body, the neck, the head rises up through the crown, and you have the sense that the crown just lifts up and the chin tucks just a tiny bit forward. Inhaling, the chest lifts and opens. Exhaling, the shoulder blades flow down the back. And as you inhale, you bring your attention, here we're going into the inner body, you bring your attention to the place where the top of the spine meets the cervical spine. It's right in the center of the head, behind that U-shaped bone at the base of the skull. See if you can find your way into the base of the brain, the place where the cervical spine meets the base of the skull. It's called the atlas. And inhaling, feel that your breath creates a little space between the top of the cervical spine and the bottom of the skull. And exhaling, see if you can allow the breath to lift the base of the skull just a fraction of an inch off the top of the cervical spine. Inhaling, feel your way into the top of the cervical spine, and exhaling, feel the base of the skull lifting just a fraction off of the cervical spine, opening that space between the head and the neck. And now just let your body open to the breath. As the breath flows in, you're going to allow your awareness to flow down towards the lower belly. And if you'd like to bring one of your hands down, place it over your belly so that your hand is over the curve on your belly, your thumb is over your belly button. The rest of your palm and forefingers are touching the curve of the lower abdomen. And if you like, you can place your other hand over the center of your chest. And you're doing this just to help bring your focus there. As with the inhalation, your attention flows into the center of the abdomen behind the hands. Don't worry if you don't feel that your breath goes all the way down there. That's fine. You're just inviting the breath down into the lower belly with your attention. So with the inhalation, just bring your attention down to the lower belly. And with the exhalation, let the breath flow up through the center of the body into the very center of the chest, into the heart. With the inhalation, as your awareness flows down towards the belly, it flows in with the thought, I am. And with the exhalation, as the breath rises into the heart in the center of the chest, the exhalation flows out with the thought, I am. With the inhalation and the thought, I am, You feel that your inner body softens and opens just a little. And as the exhalation arises with the thought, I am, you feel your heart, the energy within the chest, softening and opening. The inhalation flows in towards the belly. The exhalation flows into the heart. The thought, I am, blossoming and expanding the heart as though an invisible rose, an invisible flower, was opening in the center of your chest. I am flowing in with the breath. I am flowing out. And if thoughts arise, allow them to flow out with the breath as soon as you notice a thought, but also have the sense that you welcome the thought, that you welcome whatever arises just as you welcome the breath. And as you allow the breath to flow in and out, into the belly with the thought, I am, out through the heart with the exhalation, opening your heart with the thought, I am, your overall feeling is that your body is welcoming the breath. Your breath is welcoming your body. And the I am mantra is reminding you subtly of your deep self, your deep existence. There's focus, but there's also a relaxation that comes because nothing is unwelcome. Your awareness is flowing with the breath. I am in the core of the inner belly. With the exhalation, I am in the sense of presence expanding the heart. Now let go entirely of the focus, of the concentration, and just let your awareness open. Let yourself open to be present with your experience in this moment, with no agenda, with no particular focus. Just let yourself be. The breath is flowing. Some part of your attention may be tuned to the inner belly and the heart, even reverberating with I am. But your sense is that whatever is occurring inside your inner space is simply occurring on its own, and you're open to the awareness of this present moment, welcoming whatever is arising, just opening to the presence that you are. And once again, you can bring your awareness back into focus, settling into the breath, into the mantra, I am, flowing down through the center of the body to the core of the soft belly, flowing with the exhalation, I am blossoming and expanding the heart. I am flowing in down to the belly. I am flowing with the exhalation, expanding the heart. And once again, let your awareness just open. Let yourself be. Let yourself be open like the sky. Wherever your attention wants to go, be present without choosing, welcoming whatever arises, just the way the sky welcomes the clouds. Let everything be as it is. And notice now where your attention has settled without trying to make it settle in any particular place. Maybe your attention is flowing with the breath, in and down, blossoming the heart on the exhalation, Maybe the I am has dissolved. Maybe you're thinking, if any of this is the case, whatever is happening, let yourself welcome it. Let yourself welcome it. And in just a minute, I'm going to put us into Q&A mode, where you can unmute yourself and say anything you'd like to say about the practice or ask a question.
It's okay. No, it's good.
So you can unmute yourself by pressing *7. *7. And if there are any of you who are not too deeply into meditation and you have a question or something you'd like to ask, press *7 and we'll all be able to hear you. And if no one has a question, we're very happy to sit in the silence, allowing you to settle.
Hi, Sally. It's Tammy in Olympia.
Hi, Tammy.
I did *6. *7 didn't work.
Okay.
But,
well, *6 didn't work.
I had written you before because I had... before this class started, because I had like too much energy, and I knew that meditation would help with that and getting back into a meditation practice. And I have to say that in the last week, I've been fine, and I had not started meditating again. I just went like once. So I think that the whole thing about setting an intention, It just started working even before tonight, and I'm really glad. I'm really glad this was starting tonight, though, too. Thank you.
That's so great. And, you know, and Tammy, that, you know, what you say about meditation is so powerfully true. And I'm sure other people have noticed it also, that even deciding to take this class or even deciding to start your meditation practice is going to start bringing your energies into alignment. So that's fantastic, and thank you for telling us. So it sounds as though *6 is the button to press. If anyone else has a question or would like to share something with us. And I also want to say, because it's a question that people sometimes have, is that if your breath feels short or choppy, or if the inhalation feels longer or shorter than the exhalation, that's really fine. Just welcome the breath as it is and let your intention to let the breath flow down towards the belly and up towards the heart just carry your awareness in that vertical direction as you open up the inner body with the breath and the mantra. So if anyone has a question as we go on, you're very welcome to press *6 and interrupt me. And also please know that I'll be sending you these instructions as part of your homework.
Sally?
Yes.
This is Pranilla. Hi.
Pranilla. How are you, darling?
I wanted to ask about, you know, when you're breathing in the mantra into the belly, you know, for me, it felt like it's a better place for the mantra rather than when it's coming in the breath in, you know, through the nose and through the back of the throat, because it's something about the mantra being in the like in the area of the head that doesn't work for me.
Right.
So when it's coming through the belly, it's going into the body rather than into my intellectual brain where it doesn't really fit.
Right, right. Really, really good insight, Pranila.
Yeah, so I just, it stayed down there, but then, I don't know, it you know, everything sort of dissolved after that, but it was sort of an interesting way of looking at the mantra for me. I've always had problems with that.
Yeah, and I think that's great. And it's one of the reasons, by the way, that I really like to do this vertical meditation where your inhalation comes down towards the belly. It's just for exactly that reason, because it takes you out of the head.
Yeah.
And so that's great. That's great. You know, it's literally grounding to sound the I Am mantra with the inhalation in the belly. And one of my insights that came up for me as I've done this vertical approach to meditation is that actually the belly is, it's really the part of the subtle body that relates to your sense of being. You know, so that when you practice mantra with an intention to tune into the belly, it actually does activate the sense of being that's deeper than the mind. So that's
right.
Very cool. That's very good. Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Sally, so, this is Anne.
Hi.
And what I've noticed in my meditation tonight and at other times is that my body does movement. I mean, sometimes it's like an oscillation around the atlas, you know, just a rocking kind of thing in the head. But tonight there were like contractions in my belly. And what are these movements about?
Well, they're actually movements of the meditation energy working in the body, and in Sanskrit, in the tradition of the tradition where we meditate with attention to the, you know, to the life energy, to the life force. They're called kriyas, and kriya literally means action or movement, and they are spontaneous actions that the shakti makes happen inside your body. And this, you know, the rotation in the atlas in the head is one of the very, very common normal ones. And that feeling in the belly is really interesting. I mean, it sounds as though when you brought the breath to the belly, that it really activated some energy there.
Mm-hmm.
Was it like the belly was going in and out?
No, it was like a contraction. That kind of like my chest and my belly kind of came more together. You know, it's like a folding kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. How did it feel?
It felt like a muscle contraction, but it also felt good.
Yeah.
It felt like it was either telling me something or doing something.
It actually sounds to me like a spontaneous bandha. You know, the word bandha, it means, it actually means a yogic lock or contraction, and it's one of the ways that we bring energy, that we let the energy in the lower body start to rise. So I think it's a very, very good yogic kriya, yogic action. So very good. Very good.
I've noticed before that when I go into meditation that my body is involved in it. I mean, there are movements in my body, and to let them happen just feels really good. Like I'm going on a journey.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
You know, and I think, you know, I suspect that many, many people who are listening have that experience as well. One of the qualities of shakti-inspired meditation is that it is very much in the body. You know, it's not just about spacious awareness, although that's definitely an aspect of it and a part of it and a stage. But it the energy is going to move through your body, and it's actually going to allow your body to make all kinds of subtle movements that are usually very pleasurable.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if there's an area in the body that's tense, the energy
right.
might move through the tension, but in general they're very pleasurable.
Right. I mean, is it then clearing?
It's a clearing, yeah. Yeah.
Energy, like, you know, old stuff, like, you know, samsara kind of thing. I mean, things that we carry with us.
Yeah, samskaras, tensions that are lodged in the body, you know, the effect of old toxicity sometimes just get released in meditation. There was a long time in my practice when my body would kind of make chiropractic adjustments when I was meditating. It would literally take the kinks in my neck out. You know, so there's a lot of, as you know, the body is intelligent. And one thing that happens as we sit for meditation, if we really sit with an attitude of welcoming, that the energies in our body will start to open the body in very powerful ways. So, you know, so thank you for getting that. And God bless the energy, this subtle energy in the body.
Yes, thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure. And we're going to do one more meditation before we end our time together. So I just want to say a couple of things more about the attitudes that we're practicing with, because as many of you know, the attitude that we have in meditation is actually as important or more important than the actual technique we're doing. The technique is really a vehicle for letting the mind get settled. The attitude is going to affect your whole experience. So I want to talk about welcoming practice, because it is actually the kind of heart of the falling in love with meditation attitude. And as you know, in many traditions, part of the meditation practice is the practice of witnessing, of allowing ourselves to be the witness of thoughts and emotions as they arise, and of body movements as they arise. So the practice of witnessing is a classic way to hold space for whatever comes up in meditation. And, you know, if we were going to give gender terms to meditation attitudes, I would say that the witness attitude is a divine masculine way of holding our experience. And that when we practice welcoming, and if you just think of what it feels like to welcome your experience as opposed to witnessing your experience, you see that in welcoming there's a natural warmth that comes into the practice. It's really a more loving, more allowing, we could say a more divinely feminine approach to standing back from your experience. And often the word itself, you know, just because as we know, the thoughts we use, the words we use have a profound effect on the way we feel. So to have this thought of welcoming whatever arises is going to bring a kind of deep, subtle relaxation into your practice. And one of the real gifts of practicing welcoming is that it begins to untie that attitude that we often have that some things that happen in meditation are acceptable and some things are not okay, you know, not meditative. In fact, one of the great rules of meditation that one of my meditation teachers used to give us is that whatever happens when you sit for meditation is part of your meditation. And even though, you know, we really try in meditation to allow the mind to get quiet, we also know that if we have this attitude of welcoming and we keep bringing ourselves back to the sense of being, to the sense of I am, to the sense of the breath moving down and up and really opening up being to us, that thoughts can come up and it's fine, because where you really are is in that deeper place where thoughts arise and subside. And I also want to say, as those of you who know me know, that a lot of the attitudes that I've found are transformative in meditation came to me at a time when I had begun to realize that it was critical that I begin to experiment with practice. I had actually fallen out of love with meditation and was finding it very routine and very dull. That inspired me to begin investigating ways to enliven my practice and to kindle my love for practice. So it's in that attitude of playfulness and exploration, which we'll go into more in the course of the week. It's really a turning point moment, which is very much like the moment in a marriage when you make the decision that you'll go deeper into the relationship. And, you know, very often that moment of recommitting or deciding that you'll just be with each other in different ways. So, you know, since we're using the idea of meditation as a relationship, just the way this can re-enliven your relationship with another person, the experimental attitude can deepen your meditation practice, whether you're a new meditator or a very experienced meditator. And the key attitude, and I want to offer you this for the week, is to begin by considering, whenever you sit, okay, what is my relationship to meditation practice right now? What do I want in meditation? What's my intention for meditating right now, this morning, this evening? And give yourself a moment or two to get clear about the intention. Because as you were hearing earlier, that intention is so quick, it's so key, it's so important, as Tammy was saying, in giving directionality to your practice. And as you look at meditation as the fulfillment of your intention, also look at it as an experiment and as a form of play, as a very advanced and enlightened form of play. So as you sit this week, you know, as you do this practice, as you practice with the breath, the I Am mantra, notice how it feels as the breath goes deeper. Notice how the breath feels in the belly and in the heart. And consider, how can I open a little bit more? How can I feel the touch of the breath? How am I experiencing I Am? You know, am I experiencing it as a sound? Because you can really tune into the I Am mantra as a vibratory energy inside your body. I Am vibrates in a specific way with the breath. But you can also experience I Am as a statement of beingness. And, you know, because this is really a very profound mantra, a mantra that actually articulates the experience of the self. You know, the experience of the self is a nonverbal experience, but I Am brings you present to that nonverbal feeling of being. So with this sense of, you know, just being aware in your practice, not thinking about it, but just noticing, being open, being welcoming, seeing it as play, we're going to enter into this beautiful game of meditation together. And so as we bring our time in this moment to a close, you can join your awareness with the breath. Come back to the feeling that you're breathing in particles of loving energy from the environment. Breathing them in down towards the belly with the thought, I am. And then allowing the breath to rise up from the belly and blossom the heart with the thought, I am. And let yourself ride the breath. Ride it down towards the deep ground of your lower belly. Ride it up towards the expansive space of your inner heart. I am. Breathing down towards the belly. I am. Flowing up towards the heart. And with great love and a great wish for our unfoldment together, we'll spend a few moments in meditation, and then you'll hear the sound of the gongs, and you can sit for a while, simply allowing the breath to flow in and down, out, expanding the heart with I am, with the blessings of the self and the Shakti and all the great lovers of meditation who have gathered with us, flowing with our breath. Namaste. Good evening. Have a beautiful night and a beautiful week. You'll be receiving your homework later on tonight, and the audio download will be ready tomorrow. And with great love and great respect, I welcome you all with all my heart. Good night.